So what if a city could sue real estate developers and banks for, say, practices they believe made it so segregated that pockets of poverty and flight of affluent residents hurt the city's property values and tax base? Well, that's the disruptive proposition the Supreme Court will hear today in a case that narrowly questions the scope of the Fair Housing Act. The city of Miami alleges that banks, Wells Fargo and Bank of America, have violated the FHA by offering predatory loans to African Americans and Latinos. The consequences of those bad loans have been run-down neighborhoods, increased crime, and increased costs for law enforcement. Amy Howe, a reporter for SCOTUS Blog, says a ruling for the banks means it may be harder to fight discrimination. A ruling for the city means banks may choose to opt out of the market altogether for lower-income borrowers.
What it boils down to is the city of Miami what Congress had in mind when it enacted the Fair Housing Act? Or is it really intended to be more specific to protect people and groups, you know, so civil rights groups or tenant groups that have been the actual victims of discrimination?
So the plaintiffs want the court to look at the consequences of predatory lending in Miami the same way it would look at, say, toxic, you know, contamination of water in Flint, that essentially you were responsible for the water. It was degraded and our citizens, as a result, suffered. We want damages.
Yes. And so the question before the court, is that what Congress had in mind when it enacted the Fair Housing Act? The city is saying, in effect, we were harmed by this discrimination, even if we weren't the direct victims.
Now, it's certainly the case that in the debate back in the days of the old Fair Housing Act, protecting the cities was something that Democrats particularly, and Republicans to a certain extent, wanted to accomplish. But will that be the evidence that is called upon to actually figure out what the intent was?
That's certainly part of the city's argument, is that the Fair Housing Act is really all about the effect that discrimination had on cities. And it's only natural that cities would be able to bring lawsuits under the Fair Housing Act. And in fact, I think the cities would say they are perhaps best suited to bring a lawsuit under the Fair Housing Act to try to get some compensation for this discriminatory lending, because in many cases, people may not know that they've been the victims of discriminatory lending. People may just know that they got a loan and the bank foreclosed and now they lost their houses. And so the city's argument is that, yes, the Fair Housing Act was all about cities, and this is exactly the kind of lawsuit that Congress had in mind.
In the case here, the plaintiffs are alleging that the predatory lending created foreclosures, which then degraded property values, etc. There are more details, but I'm just sort of sketching over them. Is this a case which could change segregation in housing in urban America, or is this much more narrow than that?
It's hard to say, because so much depends on exactly what the Supreme Court rules and how it says that. I mean, I think that the city's argument would be that we need to have this as sort of a tool in our arsenal to combat discrimination. Certainly individuals who've been the victim of discrimination should be able to sue, but cities should also be able to sue. I think that the bank's counterargument is that if we face liability, you know, on this scale, we don't think we did anything wrong, but even if we did, if we face liability on this scale, the answer is not going to be that we're going to make different loans. The answer is probably going to be that we aren't going to make many of these loans at all, because the risk is just too high and we might make far fewer loans to lower income borrowers. And that certainly isn't what the city would be seeking.
In this particular case, does an 8-justice court matter here?
I think it absolutely matters. Certainly, I think that we can expect that 3 of the court's more conservative justices, the Chief Justice John Roberts, Samuel Alito, and Clarence Thomas, to be supportive of the banks. I think, you know, we can probably expect the court's 4 more liberal justices to be supportive of the city. And then that leaves us, as in so many high-profile cases, with Justice Anthony Kennedy, who joined the court's 4 more liberal justices recently in another case involving the Fair Housing Act. But whether this is the sort of thing that is going to grab Justice Kennedy's attention to avoid having a 4-4 deadlock, whether you know, he and perhaps Justice Stephen Breyer could come up with some sort of narrow compromise ruling. But I think it's absolutely a case in which the 8-justice court is very much at the forefront of everyone's minds.
This is a much larger discussion, but are we already seeing hints of real worries about the future of the court, given it being, you know, only 8 justices, not 9, and that the longer this goes on, the more trouble this is going to mean for the court's credibility?
I don't know that there's a sense necessarily that the court's credibility has been compromised. I do think there's a sense that despite the assertions by some justices that they're able to get work done, it's certainly true that many of the Supreme Court's cases are decided unanimously or, you know, with 9 justices by a vote of 8-1 or 7-2. But it tends to be the cases that we're all the most interested in, which the court tends to be closely divided. And there is a sense that they are sort of operating with one hand tied behind their back, so to speak, on these high profile cases because they only have 8 justices.
Well, a very interesting case on the Fair Housing Act. Amy Howe, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. Great to talk to you.
Amy Howe is a reporter for SCOTUS Blog. She spoke with us from Washington, D.C.